The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein, and this is the first Misery Monday of the year. Yeah, we had so much fun last week celebrating a victory week for the Commanders, but now I just feel like I need a cigarette. I need some Maker's Mark. I'm going to kick my feet up here and just try to relax a little bit. It's so sad having a Misery Monday on the Fan after
that.
Let the
sad songs boost your mood.
Well, they're making me feel worse, dude. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I don't feel good about my team's performance. And there are a lot of teams around the NFL that are also celebrating a Misery Monday. Phone lines are open, 833-804-0910. Again, that's 833-804-0910. Or you can always tweet me at AWide Radio. Let's go to David in the West End. David, you want to chime in here on a Misery Monday?
Yes, it's not a Misery Monday for me, sir. I am a Miami Dolphins fan.
Oh, what a comeback, man. Great win.
I did not see that. Well, let me tell you how bad of a Dolphins fan. And I'm a lifelong Dolphins fan. I'm 57 years old. So I've been rooting for them forever. But I would tell you this. I was at a Warren Hole yesterday watching the Dolphins play. They were down 28-7. They looked like that they could not stop the Little Sisters of the Poor in the first half. And I let the line roll for two reasons. One, because I was not enjoying the game. And two, because I did have a honeydew lift. When I said to my wife, do you mind if I go out to the bar for a couple hours to look at the game? She kind of said, oh, okay. So it was kind of said to me, no, it really wasn't okay. But I decided to take out. So I went home to get in good graces, do my honeydew lift. And then all of a sudden I'm looking at the TV and I see the comeback that in a million years I would not have told you that I thought that this could happen. So I felt that I left the team to go home and just do my thing, but I am absolutely aghast, thrilled. I don't know other words to put the fact that they actually beat a very good Baltimore team. So it not only beats a team, but they beat a good team, which makes you feel really good about that. So we'll see what happens next week. We go up against Buffalo. We'll see whether we can pull another one out of the hat against Buffalo.
Yeah, David, I'll tell you, I was so
nothing. I'm still going to look at it.
I was so surprised that Tua led them back for the victory. Cheek, did we ever play the audio the other week of Tua? Remember he told reporters, and he was like, if I can't see you,
yeah,
I can't make the pass.
He did, yeah.
And it was like, how is this guy an NFL quarterback, right? It felt like that's the kind of guy we were watching for three quarters. Then all of a sudden, he just said, you know, F it. Tyreek Hill down there somewhere, and he just bombed it deep to him.
And he
twice,
was wide open.
Wide open. And he, look, he's one of the fastest wide receivers in the league. He's one of the most exciting wide receivers to watch. And he single-handedly brought them back into the game. Then Jalen Waddle with the game-winning catch. I mean, Ravens fans have to be more depressed than I am today. They had a 35-14 yeah, lead in the fourth quarter of that game. My goodness. So it is a Misery Monday for a ton of teams here around the NFL. If you want to chime in, you can always call us 833-804-0910 or tweet me at AWOD Radio. Are you concerned with the Commanders following the Week 2 loss to the Detroit Lions? I am very concerned. It feels like the wheels have fallen off the bus. You know, this defense is not going to stop anyone, and Philadelphia might put up 72 points on the board against us. Ron Rivera was asked by the media if he's concerned after the loss to the Lions. Here's Ron Rivera after the game.
I'm not concerned. You know, we weren't at full strength, okay? But having said that, they still ran against us. You got to give them credit. That's a very gritty football team. They came out. They had a lot of energy early on. They fed off the energy around the crowd, and they made a couple things happen, and we didn't respond. Came out in the second half. We responded. We fought. We battled. We did some good things. I think you got to look at, you know, more than just what you see on the surface.
Okay,
there's
you
a lot more to
cut this
happens.
Clip. You know what he sounds like? So you know how when you're a kid and you never want to get your hair cut, and they take you to the barber and you're crying, "Mommy, I don't want to do this. They're gonna cut my ear off." And then they give you a lollipop.
Sounds like he has one.
Oh, play it again. He sounds like he's sucking on a lollipop after he went to the doctor's office and was destroyed by the Detroit Lions. Play this clip again. He literally sounds like he's sucking on a lollipop.
Concern. You know, we weren't at full strength. Okay.
But okay.
Having said that, they still ran against us. You got to give them credit. That's a very gritty football team. They came out. They had a lot of energy early on. They fed off the energy around the crowd.
I mean, yeah. Am I right? Doesn't it sound like he just popped a, you know, a lollipop into his mouth there, and he's just sucking away.
The very end, that.
Right.
He sounds frustrated.
Right. Okay. Okay. They had a good. They're a good team. Okay. They had a good. They had a good game. But hey, you know what you gotta do when your team looks terrible on defense and you look like the worst defense in the history of the NFL? You know what you should do as a head coach? We gotta give these guys a lot of credit, right? Let's just give the other team a lot of credit and not talk about how bad you were.
They should get some credit. Hate it for my guys. We move on.
All right, but here's what I won't do: is I won't blame any of this loss on my quarterback. I still believe in Carson Wentz. Carson is the first player to start at quarterback, all right, for a new team. This is the first time that this has happened since 1950 when they were tracking this in the NFL. To have two games for 300-plus passing yards and three touchdown passes and his first two starts for a new team. I am not blaming Carson Wentz at all. I got into a huge argument with my buddy who's trying to tell me he'd rather have Alex Smith over Carson Wentz. I was losing my mind. One-legged Alex Smith? What the hell do you know about football? 175 yards of offense, Alex Smith? No chance. Carson nearly brought us back into that game. Of all the quarterbacks we've had in Washington in the last 25 years, I'd say Kirk Cousins and maybe Mark Brunell are the only other quarterbacks that would have thrown us back into a game like that. That's it. If the defense had gotten just one more stop, we would have had a chance. One more stop. Here's Carson Wentz talking about the offensive struggles.
It's very ugly. I got to be better. We got to stay on the field. We got to execute better. Again, we got to look at the tape, but it just seemed like one little thing here and there. And next thing you know, it was the end of the first half. It was very ugly, very ugly. So proud of the way the guys responded. Coming out the second half, we know what we're capable of. I think we showed it again, but we just got to be consistent. We got to be consistent. We can't do that early in the game. The league is too hard to win, and we can't do that to ourselves and dig ourselves a hole like that.
I want to play Terry McLaurin also speaking on the bad first half for the Commanders, because really, it was just the ugliest first half I've seen offensively and defensively. 22-0 Detroit Lions on top after one.
They attacked us. They had a lot more energy than we did, I feel like. And they just executed. I mean, we shot ourselves in the foot offensively a lot, forced the defense to play a lot more plays. And, you know, that's just not who we are as an offense, but that's what we put up on the scoreboard, nothing. So we have to come back better next week.
What did you guys think about at halftime and the score was what it was?
mindset was just, I mean, that's about as bad as of a half as we could have had. So our mindset was to come out there, and we got the ball first, and to be aggressive coming out and just put a good drive together. And I think we did a good job of starting a lot faster in the second half, and we made some plays and kind of got a little momentum going forward.
So it was one of those games there where you really can't just solely blame the offense or the defense or the special teams. It was one of those things where all three units were so bad, they were playing the opposite of complementary football. But here's how the offense went for the first half of the football game. Three plays, three and out, punt. Three plays, three and out, punt. It doesn't get any worse than that, does it? Only two plays and a safety. Then three plays and a punt. Three plays and a punt. Six plays, move the ball a little bit, then punt. Six plays, move the ball a little bit, then punt. But somehow, at halftime, we were able to make adjustments, and the first drive of the second half finally looked like the offense we had all been waiting for. Five plays, 64 yards, and a touchdown for the Washington Commanders. I had a caller say the same thing that I'm thinking right now 20 minutes ago. He said, why do we always wait till halftime to make the adjustments? It was so obvious in the first quarter, you needed to scrap what you were doing offensively and make some changes. You couldn't do the little dinks and dunks that we did against Jacksonville. The timing was off, and Wentz didn't even have enough time to get rid of the ball at all. It was so terrible. And so, look, a lot of people on social media wanted to blame the coaching staff. I want to blame the players, the offensive line, Charles Leno. I'm calling you out on the safety. That was your fault. What kind of blindside coverage was that? My goodness. My grandma could have played left tackle better than you there. You let the guy right past you and strip Carson Wentz for a strip fumble and ends up being a safety. 2 points on the board. We went three and out, three and out, three and out, and you think it can't get any worse. The next time we get the ball, we only had two offensive plays, and we give up a safety. Robert Griffin III was on the Sports Junkies, and he was talking to them about the coaching and the staff. I want to hear Robert Griffin's thoughts on the coaching staff. Is he blaming Jack Del Rio and Ron Rivera?
The simple answer is yes. There's multiple ways to encourage or light a fire under a guy's seat to make him understand that he's got to play better. One of those methods should never be from a coach in the media. I strongly believe that. Obviously, I've had my own experiences with that. And I think throwing him under the bus, essentially putting the tire tracks on him, on his back, isn't good for the locker room. Coaches have to take a certain accountability to say, hey, maybe he's not playing to the best of his ability, but I have to also put him in better positions to be successful. That's coaching. You know, great coaches are the ones who put their players in the right spot. Davis had a sack in the first half, I believe, and actually played better this week than he did last week. So I think pointing him out and saying, hey, this is the guy to blame, I think that's just a little bit out of character for what Ron Rivera has shown himself to be over the years. And I don't think that's the best thing for Jamin Davis in that locker room. So I would do it a different way. They're deciding to do it that way. But at the end of the day, he's not the reason that they're giving up 7 yards a carry and 8 yards a carry in back-to-back games.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910, The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. I have a lot to talk about still from that Commanders game breakdown and some of RG3's thoughts. The Commanders have given up 16 explosive plays in just two games. That is more than any team in the NFL. And then we've got to talk about that two-point conversion, maybe the dumbest decision in the history of coaching in the entire NFL. I can't believe that happened for my guy Ron Rivera in Washington yesterday as they faced off against the Lions. Phone lines are open. I want to hear from you guys here on a Misery Monday. 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. You're listening to AWOD on The Fan.
You're listening to Adam Epstein.
The defense was bad last year. It was terrible the year before. The defense has not gotten better.
Noon to 3 every day on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM.
Ron Rivera is stubborn. I want to be excited for this team. Year after year, there's something. It's so frustrating.
I was angry.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. This is AWOD Radio here on a Misery Monday. Cheek, what was this song?
That is Soundgarden's Black Saturday, which I guess was more of a Black Sunday for the Commanders, but it works.
Yeah, it was not fun. My buddy James, who is unable to call in right now, texts me, that game was so ass. Our offense didn't do anything in the first half, and the defense gave up everything.
To the point.
All right, you can always text me, or you can tweet me at AWOD Radio, or you can call into the show, 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. Sam Fortier did a really interesting article on the Washington Post this morning about the Commanders and their defensive struggles. All right, so an explosive play is defined as a rush of 12 yards or more, or a pass of 16 or more, all right? Washington is ranked fifth worst in the NFL, allowing 16 explosive plays so far this season. Coach Rivera was visibly frustrated during his news conference after the 36-27 loss to the Lions, referencing explosive plays, quote, chunk plays, or big plays nearly a dozen times, saying, quote, if you get chunk plays, if you get yourself into scoring position, it changes everything. He said, we tried not to give up, and we tried to create. If you can make chunk plays, you're going to make it easier for yourself to score. That's exactly what happened for the Detroit Lions offense. Anytime Washington was close to getting to a stop, like a 3rd and 15, they'd have a 25-yard explosive play. The article went on to say that one study found that without an explosive play, offenses can score about 10% of drives, right? So you drive down the field 10 times, only one time you score. With one big play, it automatically jumps up to 30%. If you have two explosive plays, you have more than a 50% shot of scoring. So think about that. In two games, we've given up 16 explosive plays. I mean, the offenses aren't even having 16 possessions.
No.
You know what I mean? So we're giving up almost one explosive play every single time the other team gets the ball. And then he went on to say in the article, Sam Fortier of the Washington Post, that while no one expects Carson Wentz to be Patrick Mahomes this year, the Commanders' offense has shown the ability to generate chunk plays. Washington had 7 in week 1 and 8 in week 2, all in the second half. That is tied with Baltimore and Cincinnati for 8th most in the NFL. So hello, if you're tweeting me that Carson Wentz is the issue, it's obviously not. The offense is creating these chunk plays that's helping them score. It's the defense who can't get off the field, and they're giving up the explosive plays week in and week out. The defense under coordinator Jack Del Rio has left little margin for error. So why does Washington give up so many different plays? Well, the article says sometimes it's poor communication, as on Lions wide receiver Amon-Ra St. Brown's 49-yard catch and run. Sometimes it's a bad matchup, like when slot receiver Christian Kirk beat Jamin Davis for a 17-yard gain. And sometimes it's just a mistake or bad execution. It was a combination of all of that in week 2 for Washington. It was just such a bad effort. It was so unbelievably frustrating. After the loss, Ron Rivera said, in certain situations, we did not do well. Not all the time, but some of the time. Don't twist it. Hear what I'm saying. We've got to make sure we're putting them in position to play. They have to play well. They have to also make a play as well. This is a whole team effort. You don't want to blame anybody. Blame us all. It felt like with that exact same quote, he was calling out the people that were calling for Jack Del Rio's head and saying, don't make it twisted. Sometimes we're definitely putting the guys in the right position to make the play. They're just not making it. Specifically, I'm looking at Jamin Davis, Cole Holcomb, Kendall Fuller, and William Jackson III. I'm still upset that the defensive coverage on a third down play to the best receiver on the other team, and Amon-Ra St. Brown, and William Jackson III falls twice. He slips twice on the coverage, and one of those times in the back of the end zone. And the guy, he just stands up. The most frustrating thing about that catch is that Amon-Ra St. Brown does not have to jump.
Right.
He just stands up and lifts his hands over his head and makes the catch. Which tells me that if William Jackson III is just on his 2 feet like a normal defensive cornerback would be, he would be there to deflect it like I just did to this microphone or to make the interception. How the hell do you fall down twice? It's so damn frustrating.
I haven't fallen down in a long time, for what it's worth. I can keep my feet.
Yeah, you can.
I fell down the stairs like 2 months ago.
Sounds like I might have just broken this microphone. That's how upset I am. The article went on to say in conclusion that for now, the scoreboard and the spreadsheets point to a festering problem. If the defense is to improve, a good start would be to stop letting the opponents go boom. That's exactly what it felt like watching the game yesterday. Now can we talk about that 2-point conversion, though? Cheek, you're a math guy. What's the math on that? How does that make any sense to go for 2 in that situation?
It didn't.
You're down by, and the craziest
my
thing.
My dad was mad about it.
I might need your dad to call the show, right? We had my dad earlier. He couldn't figure out Bluetooth. Have your dad call us maybe tomorrow. But
yeah,
it was just so frustrating because you come back from 22-0, right? Mm-hmm. Let's just talk about it. I'm watching the game, right? It's 20-0. We score, and I'm saying go for 2 right now because you have the momentum, right? Yep. Let's get the momentum. They didn't. They went for 1, and it's 22-7. They score again, and I'm saying let's go for 2. Now we have the momentum. What did they do? They went for 2, and they got it. And it's 22-15. We're back in it, baby. Then Amon-Ra St. Brown goes around the edge. They score, and they score, and they go up 29-15. Right. I'm watching this game, and I'm like, all right, the momentum is gone, whatever, but Carson Wentz is back on offense still, and the offense have been moving the ball.
Was this the drive that ended with the missed extra point?
This is the drive. No. This is the drive that we punted. We gave it back to them. They punted back to us.
Okay.
We went right down the field, and we scored. And we cut the lead from 14-8.
Right.
And an extra point would make it 7.
Right.
Where does the math come in here that you're down by 8 and you go for 2 to make it 6?
Oh, right. I'm thinking of Dotson's touchdown.
Right.
I think. Right. Okay.
It's just, it doesn't make any sense to me.
No.
Ron Rivera has this Riverboat Ron name, which that he was given when he was in Carolina because he went for it on 4th down a lot. He was given that name because they were being nice to him because nobody knew. It didn't make any sense every time he was going for it on 4th down. He would punt on 4th and 2. He would go for it on 4th and 8, and you'd be scratching your head.
Right.
That's why they gave him the name Riverboat Ron.
It's the surrender index thing. Yeah.
We're down by 14. You score a touchdown. You kick the extra point. 100 times out of 100 times to make it a 7-point game. You try to get one stop, and you try to tie it. I don't care what the math tells you, that 53% of the time you make a 2-point conversion, and that way you score again and you win by one. That's stupid. That's all that is. That's stupid. Cheek, you trying to tell me something?
Yeah, because I didn't know if you wanted to hear what he's had to say.
Oh,
after.
Ron Rivera?
Yeah.
Oh, let's play it. I'm sure it's going to sound coach speak. And
oh, yeah.
He's going to be an idiot here.
It's in the math. It's in the math.
You it's not in the math!
Okay.
Play it one more time.
It's in the math. It's in the math. You guys should appreciate the analytics of it.
We should appreciate the analytics? You know what kind of answer was that? That was, I know I'm wrong.
It's in the math. It's in the math. You guys should appreciate the analytics of it. Okay.
Since when does NFL come down to analytics and not whose offensive line is bigger and stronger? That's what it's always come down to. Analytics. Are you kidding me? I don't care if the analytics were shown to me right now by the President of the United States. I'm telling you that that's BS. You're down by 14 points. That's 2 touchdowns. Why are you making it harder on yourself?
Like, I get it if you're in, like, if it's a gray area, but this is pretty black and white.
It's just so stupid.
You cut the deficit to 7.
And you then get you score again.
Chip shot extra point. You're in a dome or right. in a closer.
And that's the thing. That's the thing. The decision looked even stupider because the next time we scored, we missed the extra point.
That's what I was thinking of. Yeah.
We missed an extra point, and we missed a 2-point conversion. Instead of getting Carson Wentz the ball back down by 7, we got Carson Wentz the ball back down by 9, and the game is already over because it's under 2 minutes left. And then how about the onside kick? The worst onside kick I've ever seen!
I don't think I saw
how
that.
How does Joey Sly have a freaking job? He missed an extra point in preseason. He missed a kick in preseason against the Ravens. He then missed an extra point, and that's the reason we lost the game. Even if Ron Rivera's dumb decision to go for 2 didn't backfire, if our kicker could make an extra point, we'd have a shot to tie the game.
If you got the 2-pointer, that it
Ron Rivera
it doesn't
value
yeah.
special teams. He that's doesn't fair. Value.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of criticism of Sly, so.
I'm blaming Ron Rivera on this loss. I don't care who wants to blame Jack Del Rio, who wants to blame the players. All right, you want to blame the middle linebackers? They're not that good. Jamin Davis, we knew he wasn't good last year. We knew he wasn't good. How are we going to get any better? Our engineer thinks I'm going to have an aneurysm on the air. How about you fix this microphone? Because I just want to break things today. I can't believe we lost that game that badly. And I can't believe he decided to go for 2. So stupid. So stupid. It would never make sense.
No.
In video games, it doesn't make sense. If you do the math on a spreadsheet, Excel would tell you, we can't compute. It doesn't make sense. It's stupid. 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. I'm Adam Epstein on The Fan.
Are you ready to join the AWOD Army? Tune in to the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM every day from noon to 3 on AWOD Radio.
I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on a Misery Monday. Joining me right now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline to go around the NFL is Mark Schofield. What's going on, Mark?
What's going on, Adam? Great to be with you on this Misery Monday. Fantastic U2 song to play as well. Always great to be with you, buddy.
I appreciate you taking the time, man. Let's start with the Ron Rivera decision on the 2-point conversion. You're an NFL guy. You've been at this a long time. Make that make any sense to me, man, because the math is not mathing up.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of these areas where sort of the advent and the growth of sort of the analytical view of this game has kind of crept in. The decision when you're trailing by 14 to go for 2 or not, you know, because if you do get that – might make life a little bit easier on you. If you don't, you're still going to get two scores. It's one of those decisions that if you fail, it's going to get looked at as what were you thinking? Like when you're down 14, you get a touchdown, you kick the extra point, now you're down seven. Why put yourself in that position? But it's a bit of an aggressive view of it. I can understand why some teams might do that. I'm always of the mind, though, that you make a move like that when you're playing at home. Do that on the road, I think, is a little bit more questionable. We saw how it played out now. We saw Washington now lose that game. And so it's certainly going to be looked at as a decision that people are going to review and say, you can't do that again. In that situation, don't go for two. Take the points. Move on. Play the next drive.
The reason I would say you can't do it, and I'm telling you, you can't do this 100 times out of 100 times, because it's stupid. You just made everything so much harder on your team here, and I get it. You're hoping to do it because you want to win by one. No. You were down 22-0 in this game. You're lucky that you're even in it and have a chance to tie it with an extra point. That's why you don't go for it. The defense made a ton of mistakes. Washington has given up 16 of these plays here of 12 or more yards on rushing or 16 yards or more on throws. Explosive plays. Fifth worst in the NFL. And so I don't understand how you're going to make it even tougher on yourself by going for two. What'd you make of the Washington defense, though, Mark? How can they get any better here for the rest of the season? Just the talent level isn't good enough.
I mean, that's part of it. There are some miscommunication mistakes that we saw in week one that gets sort of glossed over by the fact that they won that game that really sort of crept up in week two. Amon-Ra St. Brown had a quote after the game saying, look, they watched what happened last week against Jacksonville. Whenever Jacksonville used bunch formations, condensed formations, they were blowing coverages. They were missed assignments. Guys weren't communicating. Guys weren't switching off on routes. And we saw that yesterday. We saw guys running free in the secondary. You saw Amon-Ra St. Brown, a dynamic young receiver, running free at times. That's the stuff that has to get cleaned up. That's the stuff you can't have at this level of football, communication breakdowns with the receivers running free. Like, the game is hard, but don't make it easy for the opponent when a quarterback suddenly has wide open receivers to throw to. Did Jared Goff make some throws that were impressive in that game, particularly in the second half? Yeah. But if you're letting them have wide open receivers to throw to because you're having communication breakdowns of a secondary, you're just making the game too easy for him.
Joined by Mark Schofield here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. Mark, I had a segment on my show last week. Who in the NFC East has the best chance to go 2-0? And the first team to go 2-0 is the New York Giants. Are you shocked after their victory over the Carolina Panthers 19-16?
I'm not shocked by this week. I'm more, Adam, shocked about last week's win, the win over the Tennessee Titans on the road. You know, I wonder if, you know, and I'm seeing people say on social media, I'm seeing some articles already saying that they're the worst 2-0 team this year, worst 2-0 team in history. And maybe that's true. I mean, Carolina's struggling. I mean, their offense is bad right now. Matt Rhule, that seat under him could not be any hotter. I think I'm more shocked, like I said, last week's win over Tennessee. I didn't see the Giants going on the road and getting that win. I could see this one coming because Carolina's sort of struggling. But last week is the one that shocked me more.
My theme of the week. So last week, my theme was overreaction week in the NFL after week one. Everyone thought their team's going to the Super Bowl. This week, it's back to reality. And that's what it was for a ton of teams around the league. I'm interested what you make of the Baltimore Ravens losing 42-38 to the Dolphins after being up 35-14 in that game. Is Tua legit? I mean, 2-0 right now for the Dolphins on the season. He threw for 469 yards, but in the first half of that game, he kind of looked pathetic.
He didn't look good early, but he turned it on late, and I think I'm not ready to say that Tua is legit, but I think he's made the case over the past 2 weeks that he could be. And I think that's what Dolphins fans are happy to see, because we talked about it all summer long, Adam. The additions they made, the talent, the speed with Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, they had all the pieces in place around Tua, but was he going to take the step forward? Was he going to show that he can not just run that offense, make that offense explosive? Could that offense be explosive in his hands with all that talent that he's shown through 2 weeks? What they've done, you know, the 4th and 7 last week against New England. That's the kind of play that you need to see from him. Put the football in his hands, trust him on a 4th down, let him make a stick throw. Jalen Waddle creates after the catch. Now you saw the explosiveness of that offense yesterday as well. It's not just yardage after the catch. That's obviously a huge part of what they do and how they've constructed that offense, but they have the ability to go downfield a little bit. He had, you know, the deep shot to Tyreek Hill for the touchdown. And so I think he showed over 2 weeks now, yep, this offense can be explosive. He can be legitimate. The question is going to become going forward as we spin this ahead. How does he adjust to the adjustments? How does Mike McDaniel adjust to the adjustments? Maybe teams start blitzing more. Maybe they use some drop eight stuff. Maybe they do something differently each week. How does he respond then to those adjustments? But through 2 weeks, he's made the case. Maybe he's not legitimate yet, but he's working towards that.
Mark, I think both teams were back to reality in this matchup here between the Seahawks and the 49ers. Back to reality for the Seahawks, who only put up 7 points on the board all game. Geno Smith throws for less than 200 yards and an interception. And back to reality for the Niners, because they really wanted, Kyle Shanahan was begging to have Trey Lance be the starter this season. Back to reality, back to Garoppolo, and he's still a very good quarterback. They get the win by 20 points.
Yeah, like you said, sort of back to reality for both teams. I mean, for Seattle, I think that was an emotional season opener, obviously, with the return of Russell Wilson. And,
yeah,
you know, that offense, that Broncos offense has some questions to face, because I think I saw a stat just a few minutes ago, 22 snaps in the red zone, no points, 2 turnovers. Like, that offense is struggling right now, even though they got the win against Houston. So I think from Seattle, it was back to earth after the emotional week one game. For the 49ers, like you said, they wanted this to be the year of Trey Lance. This was going to be the year where Trey Lance took over ownership of that offense. And I remember talking with you, Adam, about how the offense is going to be more dynamic and explosive and different in his hands.
Yeah.
And now it's back to Jimmy Garoppolo. Now it's back to, you know, more precision, quick decision-making in the passing game, perhaps some athletic limitations, some limitations of the downfield passing game, because we have a pretty good idea of what Jimmy Garoppolo is as a quarterback. They've gotten to a Super Bowl with him. They've gotten to an NFC Championship game just last year with him. Will they be able to do that yet again? Sort of back to reality, like you said, for the San Francisco 49ers.
That's Mark Schofield, my guy. Follow him on Twitter at Mark Schofield, NFL for SB Nation. Mark, thanks so much, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Adam. Have a great day.
Yep, love going around the NFL with Mark Schofield. And we've got 2 games tonight, a doubleheader in Monday Night Football. Or I guess it's not even a doubleheader because both games will be on at the exact same time, Cheek. What would you call that?
It's an overlap header.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
It's a Monday night overlapper.
Yes.
And we'll give you a full prediction and break down the games and tell you who to bet on next. If you haven't signed up for FanDuel, sign up today and use promo code AWOD to get in on the action for NFL Week 2. We got a Monday Night Football overlapper coming up next.
Tune in to AWOD Radio.
I have a beer in my hand, and all of a sudden, everyone's going nuts because there's a fly ball that's coming screaming towards them.
Every day, 12 to 3.
It bounces off the stadium and lands right into my hand. I caught the foul ball at the Squirrels game.
On the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. This is AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910, The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Cheek, what did you make of the story that Tom Brady will have a Veterans Day off every Wednesday for the rest of the season? I mean, are you kidding me? Come on, man. Like, just retire then.
Yeah.
Just retire then. It's just, it's unfair to your teammates, to the whole organization. I mean, I'm kind of blaming Giselle on this. We might need to bring Liz Harris back in on this, Tick. All right, see if she wants to defend Giselle again. I can't believe he's going to have a Veterans Day off every Wednesday for the rest of the season. And that's totally, it's like he's given up the kids in the divorce, you know? It's totally to make his wife happy.
He's an old man now.
I mean, it's just, come on. Can you back off the man for 9 more months and let him win one more Super Bowl?
He needs time to prepare his marriage. We need
Giselle, shut up. Let my man play some football. Are you kidding me? Wednesday off. Did you see the game? The team didn't look that good. He should be at practice on Wednesday.
But he was mad. Like they had replays of him yelling and throwing the tablet, and
he picked up that tablet and threw it like a child was watching Cocomelon or something. And then it just turned off. He was just throwing fits. He has not been, you know, happy Tom Brady on the sideline the first two games. And the Bucs are 2-0 on the season, and yet he's been throwing fits. There are two Monday Night Football matchups tonight. Let's go through it right now, Cheek. 7:15, Titans at the Buffalo Bills. I told you guys last week I'm all in on the Titans on this matchup. How do you see this one playing out?
Bills all the way. I think the Titans are still going to be a little shaky from losing week one. I still think they're going to be good this year. I mean, you have Tannehill has proved that he's competent. You have Derrick Henry. But, I mean, it's Josh Allen. Like, that's all I need to say.
It is Josh Allen. He was 26 of 31 for 297 yards, 3 touchdowns in week one. But I just don't think the Titans are going to start the season 2-0. This game is like a rivalry. Even though this isn't like technically a rivalry between those two games, they have some really great matchups with each other and have over the last 3 or 4 years. And the ones the Titans win is because they give Derrick Henry the rock about 25 to 30 times in the game. So if he's able to rush 25 times for 100 yards, I give the Titans a shot in this one. The line is Buffalo minus 10. Again, you can get the Titans plus 350 right now on FanDuel. Use the promo code AWOD. Over under 47.5. I think if the Titans are going to be successful, it would be a low-scoring game where Derrick Henry kind of runs the ball and the clock out here. So I would say the Titans win this one. And if it's going to be under 47.5, that means Titans win something like 26 to 20 or something like that.
I'm going over.
I do think the Bills will get a chance to win it at the end with Josh Allen, but I have the Titans winning this one. Then,
really?
Monday night.
Okay.
Yep. Have you not been listening? I'm all in on the Titans
I'm
plus 350.
Shocked.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going against it. That was my lock of the week. All right. Lincoln Financial Field, the Link, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, as the Vikings come to town. The 1-0 Vikings to face off against 1-0 Eagles. One of these teams will be undefeated at the end of the night. Who will that be?
Yeah, the Vikings are going to be undefeated.
I think you're right here. Look, this is a game here. I'm taking the over in that one. 49.5 is the total. I'm going over in this one. The Vikings like to get up and down the field with Kirk Cousins, Dalvin Cook, Jefferson as well. And the Eagles, look, they just put up 38 points against the Detroit Lions. And the biggest thing about Jalen Hurts is his ability to scramble and pick up these third and shorts. Mm-hmm. It just changes the way you play defense. It changes the dynamic of the game here when you have a guy, a playmaker like Jalen Hurts, who can pick up these third and shorts. He keeps your offense on the field, keeps the chains moving. And so I think Philadelphia is going to be able to score the ball. I like Kirk Cousins. Now, I don't usually like Kirk Cousins in prime time, but there's something about the fact that there's two Monday Night Football games, and now he's got a new head coach in Kevin O'Connell, who he's worked with in the past with Washington. I think Kirk Cousins and the Vikings get the win in this matchup here. I think it's going to be a close game. It's going to be one where there's not much defense. I think the Vikings win this one 38-34.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that. I think it's going to be a little more gapped. I think if I had to do a pick, I'm going to go Vikings 33, Eagles 24. I think it's going to be a little further apart.
What'd you make of your Seattle Seahawks, man?
Not good.
No. And you were so pumped up last week. So you came in and you wore the same jersey on Monday and Tuesday.
I did.
You did,
I did
not change. You did not shower.
Well, I had.
You did not pass go. You did not collect $200.
I did shower and I had a shirt on underneath it. Different shirts on underneath it both days. But no, you're right. I did wear it 2 days in a row. I was hyped.
So are you just like, hey, this is Geno Smith. We're going to be bad all season.
I think
now,
it's going to be back and forth.
Who do you have next week?
That's a good question.
So as I'm building a parlay here on FanDuel with the promo code AWOD. And let's just say you wanted to do a $10 bet on Vikings and Titans money line. $10 to win $92. Pretty big odds right there. Now, the Titans one is going to be tough, but at least you'll know by the end of that game whether or not you have any chance for the second leg.
That's true. That's true. Seahawks play the Falcons, by the way, so I'm pretty confident.
Yeah.
And
if
then
you lose
that
one, your season is definitely over.
Yes, and the next week is the Lions, and I'm kind of confident on that, too.
Yeah, I haven't even looked ahead to next week for Washington, because I'm waiting for, I have to watch the Eagles. I'm going to scout the Eagles tonight, and then I'll let you know tomorrow whether or not Washington will bounce back and get the win. But it just, it feels like that's going to be a pivotal matchup next week between the Eagles and the Commanders, because You have the Giants, who we might be chasing the Giants in the first half of the season.
That's true.
They're already 2-0. The Cowboys put more pressure on the division here because Cooper Rush got a win week two, and their defense is looking incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, Diggs and Micah Parsons getting after the quarterback. They really don't have many weaknesses on defense. So Washington, when they face off against the Eagles, hopefully the Eagles will be tired. You know what? I'm going to hope that this game against the Vikings goes to overtime. Right, so we have an extra day and another few hours to prepare against them. But it just feels like, you know what? I would love for Jalen Hurts to roll his ankle tonight. You know, I don't like to say anything negative like that, but Jalen Hurts, man, Vikings D line, I would not be mad at you if you just roll his ankle a little bit. But yeah, it's gonna be fun tonight. It's gonna be a really great matchup. We got Who's Talking on the mics here from 6 to 7 p.m. tonight, and then we'll have the Hockey Dads from 7 to 8 p.m. with a special guest.
Yeah.
It's going to be Parney, Todd Parnell.
Had him on Saturday.
You had him on your show.
Yeah, he was here for all half hour before Tech pregame.
He's just going all around all the shows. So he was on my show on Friday.
Yep.
Did he drop any interesting nuggets on your show on Saturday?
I mostly just talked about the playoff series, so it was just us hyping that up. But he was talking about how, like, Jacob Hayward's just the heart of the team. And he's been here a few years.
Man, can't wait for that playoff matchup. So tomorrow is the first playoff game. You're going to be watching that one?
Yeah, I'm going to be tuning into something.
Are we going to have a watch party or something like that?
Maybe we should.
We should have prepared.
But we can't have it in here because they're going to be way ahead of the feed. So we'll have to figure that out.
Yeah, we'll have to figure that out.
But no, it was good having
Let me ask you this. Yeah. If they win the championship, do we get rings? Do we get championship
rings? I'd like
rings
to think so.
As like affiliates. Because I'll tell you, when the Washington Nationals won, they gave everyone that was an affiliate a ring. So the Sports Junkies all got rings.
Mm.
Grant and Danny got rings. I'm ringless. So you know what?
Maybe we can make that happen.
Right? I mean, why not? We're talking a lot of flying squirrels on the show. I mean, in the sports app, we recap their weekend.
Friday, Saturday, today.
So tomorrow they face off against Erie, right?
They're playing Erie eight to nine straight games. They just finished playing them. They split the series. Which is good.
Goodness.
But the Squirrels have had so many injuries that I'm worried, but they have so many good pieces that have stepped up. And
let me ask you this, Jake, because Trey and Blaine were trying to be too professional when I was asked. If it's the bottom of the ninth and we need a hit, who do you want at the bat? Who do you want at the plate?
I'm going Hayward.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
I want Hayward up there.
Hayward or what was his name? Ferguson? Oh, no, Frazier.
Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
Hayward's by default one of my guys. He won the MVP at the All-Star game in 2019. I love the Cubs. His brother,
Jason Hayward. He comes from a baseball family. Hayward, I've been watching him on TV for like 12 years.
He's been around forever. Oh, I talked to Jacob earlier this year. He's great interview. Love the guy.
What's he up to?
He's been with the Squirrels for a few years. He's gotten call-ups, and now he's back in AA. He had a homer on Sunday, yesterday, and
he had the game winner on Thursday night.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past him to send the Squirrels to the championship.
Yeah,
or win the championship.
I love that, and you can hear every single Flying Squirrels game on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. We're also the home of the Washington Commanders. First two games are on WRVA. Starting next Sunday when we face off the Eagles against the Eagles, you can hear the coverage starting an hour and a half before kickoff here with Julie Donaldson and company on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. I'm Adam Epstein, thanks to my producer Adam Cheek, and I know both of us are dealing with Misery Monday in our own ways, but hopefully we'll be back here tomorrow and be able to talk a little bit, you know, happier times, right?
No Seahawks shirt. I got a Squirrel shirt.
Yeah,
so
you're rocking a Squirrel shirt.
Positivity.
What was I wearing today? No, just a plain T-shirt. Whatever. Are you going out to see the Hockey Dads?
I'm going to try, yes. I think I'm going to stop by.
Yeah, they'll be at the Beach House in Innsbruck from 7 to 8 p.m. leading off to Monday Night Football. I'm Adam Epstein. I'll see you guys tomorrow on The Fan. You kick up the leaves. Oh, yeah. The magic is lost.